If I may say, don't confuse a short reading for a short sermon. That would be fatal. That would be dead. That reading comes right at the end, as you hold on to it there, the end, towards the end of chapter 7, of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew's account of the life of Jesus, in chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount begins. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because it reads like this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So it's the great sermon and it's certainly worth a read. What we're going to do tonight is go to the end of that sermon. And if you look down on page 972, you'll see here, let me just point them out to you. We're going to do one of four paragraphs. Jesus is so concerned that those who hear the Christian message really understand what they have to do. Not just listen, but what you have to do. That not once, not twice, not three times, but four times, he offers binary options of choices that the reader or listener to this content-driven summary of Christianity must take agency over. Have a look down there on page 972. Look at verses 15 to 20. There's a little subheading. Do you see it? True and false teachers or prophets. Jesus says, some people will listen to what I have to say. Some of them will turn out to be true teachers of what I say, others false. Make sure you're the true teacher. And then, do you see it? 21 through 23. True and false disciples. Jesus says at the end of this sermon, as a result of what I tell you about myself, some people will be true disciples, but others will be false disciples. Make sure you're on the right side of that. And then 24 through 27, a third time as he comes to the end of the sermon, he says, so are you going to be a wise builder or a foolish builder? Take agency, he says. Take responsibility. Do not drift. Don't assume second-hand belief because you have a friend who's a Christian or you're from a family that is Christian. Don't do it. Own the choices you make. The first of these options is in verses 13 to 14. The narrow, do you see it? The narrow and wide gates. So let me read that short text again, and all we'll do. You have to do it with me, mind. Don't wait for me to do it. You're going to have to work at this with me. It's late in the day. Let's look at just two verses together. Now you know what Jesus is doing. He's saying, okay, are you going through the narrow gate or the wide gate? Take responsibility. He says to the listener to the message of Jesus. Here are the lines then. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. That's one gate and one road to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. So here's our idea tonight. It's pretty straightforward, but pretty important. There are two routes to eternity. One will take us to destruction. The other will take us to life. We need to be clear on those two routes, and we need to take the right one. So come on, let's have a look. The route to destruction. Let's look at verse 13 on its own. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. The wide gate. I wish I could tell this story about Wales, but I can't. When you go to Wembley, ooh, tough for a Welshman to say that. When you go to Wembley to watch a football match, I've been to lots. When you get off the train, if you've been, and you get out of the station and onto Wembley Way, if you arrive at a particular point of the day before a game, you would never differentiate, ever, any kind of access or gateway onto Wembley Way, because thousands of people pour out onto it. And you're like this walking along to the stadium. I was trying to think, of course, of the wide gate. You may have other examples, but it really stands out when you go to Wembley Stadium. You could never differentiate the gate from the road. And as you come out of that train and you get onto that road, it's heaving. Packed. And I don't know if that helps you, but what Jesus is saying here is, look now. In life, the many, do you see it? The many. Many people are pouring down a road to destruction. The vast majority pour along a road to destruction. And you know what the road of life is like, right? Work with me on this. You know, when you're young, young teenager, so often it's the exams coming your way. Into your teens, examinations. Bars to hit, to jump, to leap. Universities to choose, jobs to choose. Vocations to choose, homes to choose, relationships to decide upon, what to do about family life, how to sustain a standard of living, how to relate to people at work, how to manage your mental health, how to manage your physical health, how to look after family, how to relate to family that are problematic, how to age well, how to handle later things in life. The road is relentless. Even now, as I do a generalization, of course, if I said, take a few seconds quietly to think, what's got your attention this week on the big white road of life? Is it there? It takes a second, doesn't it? This is where I've been this week. We pour down the road. That's okay. Because it's all so busy. You know, if you interviewed somebody on the big, broad road of life, if you tried anyway, on the road of life called Wembley Way, let's say, and you tap somebody on the shoulder as we're flying along the busyness of life and say, have you got a moment? Could I interview you? And most people would say, push off. I'm on my way somewhere. I've got a meeting at 9. Get out of the way. No, just give me a second. All right, quick, walk with me. What do you make of life? What's it all about? Well, I don't know. Why are you asking? What do you make of God? Oh, I don't know. Fine. Do you know any Christians? You're walking with, do you know any Christians? Yes. What do you make of them? Oh, she's nice. She's all right. I quite like her, actually. Oh, what's the guy like? Oh, he's okay, actually. Yeah, he's good. I like him. Oh, good. What do you make of it for yourself? Well, respect. Ah, oh, she's a great work colleague. Great neighbor. Ah, oh, good bloke. Is it for you? Well, it's a bit quaint, isn't it? I mean, I don't know that it's for me. I'm sure that I could go with it, but lots of respect for it. Well, what's the plan for life then? Well, the plan, I suppose, mate, now get off because I've got the 9 o'clock. Is, I don't know, do your best, do your own thing, crack on, try and be decent. And then get on with the things I've got to do. Nice. Here's the thing on the big broad road to life. You kind of ask what the destination is, haven't you? Haven't we got to ask tonight? What happens at the end? Where am I heading for? What's it all about? What's beyond the whole thing? What about when it's over? Where does the journey end? Careful about asking about that in an interview on the busy road, because now you're a real pest. What do you think happens at the end? Oh, shut up. Got a million things to do this week. Forget the end. I'm young. But the destination is so important. Look closely at the line here. The gate's wide, the road's broad, it's full on. I've got loads to do. I've made an hour this Sunday night to get out with my friend. What's the destination? And Jesus says that the road leads to destruction and that many enter through it. The word for destruction in the language Jesus used at the time, which is now translated into English, is a proper noun. It's Gehenna. And when he said the road to Gehenna in his culture, everybody would have understood that Gehenna was the name of the rubbish dump, the trash place outside of Jerusalem. It's where all the trash went, and it was always burning. There was always a fire there because you were constantly taking trash to it. Whoa. Jesus says, let me explain Christianity to you, and we'll come to that in a moment. But if I explain Christianity to you, I want you to know that if you don't follow my way, here's where you'll end up. In the trash, the burning trash. Now, of course, I understand that is massively offensive to so many of us. How dare you say that? Well, calm down. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So don't shoot me. But if this is what Jesus says, and he urges this upon us, and it is true, you cannot possibly say, I'll amble along the wide road and see what happens, because Jesus is warning us that there is destruction at the end of life. The Bible talks about this explicitly many times. A different word for saying this or using this concept is hell. We treat that as a religious word where you might not know Gehenna. The same outcome before God. Now please listen closely. You are trash. I know, I know. Wait till the end though, because it gets so good. Don't walk now. Just give me 10 more minutes. Because I'll show you what he does about it. Many follow that route. But if you're here tonight and you say right now, no, listen, I'm not following Jesus Christ. Fair play to you for being in this building now. That's class. Because that is hard when you go somewhere and you're not quite sure what the whole show is. Class, you're here now. All right, if that's the route to destruction, here's the second of two parts. What's the route to life? Here it is. 14. It's the exact opposite. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In all walks of life, when you stop and think, we all say, what's the destination? What are you aiming for next year? What's your vision for the next 3 years? Where do you want to end up in 5 years? What are you planning? What's your home plan, your money plan, your academic plan, your life plan, your children's plan? What are you planning? If you follow Jesus tonight, if you are following Jesus tonight, here's the thing. You've got your eye way down the line. Or if you haven't, let's get it back on that, shall we? Way down the line. I'm going to life. When this world ends for me, I will meet him. I will meet my loving Savior, friend, Lord. I'm going to meet him. That's my plan. That's how I'm heading. If you're looking in on this plan, see what it looks like to follow Jesus. The destination is to have him as your Savior and Lord for eternity. How does this look? We're now at the pivotal issue of the message of Jesus in chapters 5 to 7. Here's how it goes in summary. There is a God who made you. Your conscience tells you that there's something bigger than you. We're all aware of something bigger than us. Even in an atheistic, agnostic society, the vast majority of people say they believe in God all over the world. There is a God, and here's what we know from Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God's Son. He came from God, he became a man, and he never failed. He never failed. He never had a thought that was immoral. He never did a thing that was wrong. Unlike you or me, he never, ever turned his back on God his Father. And you know why he came? He came so that he could go to Gehenna for me. We have to pay for our rebellion against the holy God. We have to. He can have nothing to do with us. And yet he loves us so much that he sends his own Son into this world, and he hangs on a cross like this to take the penalty that you and I deserve. Some of you know this, and some of you have heard it a million times. And you say, good, church Sunday, lovely, nice picture of the cross. Thanks very much. No, no, no. That's why you've got to work together on this. We stop, we put our phones off, we come to sit here. Why? You've been rescued. You are loved when you deserve nothing. You are the apple of God's eye. When you wake at 3 a.m. and you think no one's thinking about you, somebody is. Almighty God is thinking about you. Whatever you did wrong this morning. That's what the cross means. That's why we come to remember him at church. He is amazing. His love for you is overwhelming. You are love of his life. He sent Jesus for that reason. And we meet Sunday by Sunday to remember this. It's magnificent that he has done it for us. And when we turn to him and trust him on this, we are guaranteed that God looks at us as clean for the rest of our days. We're in his company, we're in his family. He never lets us go. And Sunday by Sunday, we say a confession, as Pele did at the beginning, to remind ourselves that day after day, we turn back to Christ and say, you died for me, you love me, I screwed it up again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the gratitude is astonishing for the Christian. For those of you who think, okay, I've got the concept so far, what's the plan? Here's the plan. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. When you go down Wembley Way, I made a mistake once. It was ridiculous. Somebody said to me, I'll meet you at 2:10 on the 4th gate on the left when you come down Wembley Way. That was nonsense. You can't get to the 4th gate on the left coming down Wembley Way because there's thousands of people all around you. And if you do this, you're a pest. Because keep moving that way, you idiot. Now I've got to get past to my mate. Not a chance. Here's the thing. The gate is so small. But if you've ever seen that gate and headed for it, you know how hard it is to go against the crowd, right? You know at school or college or work or in your neighborhood, you know how hard it is to go against the crowd. And you say, no, I've got to get to the gate. I've got to get to the gate. Christ has done everything for me. I'm heading for the gate. And people say, oh, shut up. What are you going over there for? Nobody goes over there. Come this way with everybody else. And you say, no, no, I've got to go to the gate. And maybe for some of you, tonight is the night when you go, I'm going to that gate. I'm getting onto the narrow road. I'm getting for Christ. And here's the thing. When you get to the gate, it's a turnstile. It's so tiny. And here's our problem. We've got a massive rucksack on, haven't we? When you come to Christ, your reputation is no use. Your record is no use. Your looks are no use. Your cultural achievements are no use. He just sees a woman or a man who has turned their back on God and is heading for Gehenna and for judgment. And as you go to that gate, he's at the turnstile and he says, "What do you want?" And you say, "Let me in. Why should I let you through the gate?" "Well, I'm quite decent. I'm all right. I'm not bad. I'm better than her. That's for sure. Not as good as him, but better than her." And the Lord Jesus says, "Oh, you fool, haven't you heard what I've said? You can't come through this gate on your own merits." Now, I don't know if this is a relief for you. For the Christian tonight, I want to say, is that a relief to you? Stop thinking you can get through on your own merits, you fool. It's all a gift. But for somebody who doesn't know Christ yet, I'm telling you, you go to the gate that's Jesus Christ and get away from that crowd as you've done by coming here and say, "Can I come onto the narrow road?" And he'll say, "Yeah, throw all your efforts away because you can't deserve your way or earn your way in here. You come in because I love you and I want you to admit you need me. And I want you to believe that I died for you. And I want you to confess that I'm your Savior and Lord. And you're in." And many in this room have said, "Get that rucksack off me. I'm in, dear. I'm in with Christ as my Savior." Oh, that's why we meet, to remember this. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's personal. It's personal. He loves me. "Come through me, dear. Come through me," he says. Oh, and then you're on the road. Look, you're on the road now. You're through the gate. You're on the road. Ooh, are you on the road? Anyone fancy coming on the road? Get through the gate. But if you're on the road, oh boy, it's demanding, isn't it? Know when you're on the road, Jesus leaves no small print. In case you're watching on now, Jesus doesn't leave any small print. Listen to what he says in Mark's account of his life. "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their lives for me and for the gospel will save it." Dear Christian this evening, you know, don't you, that narrow road, it's tough, isn't it? Costly, isn't it? Oh, the battles, oh, the challenges, oh, the temptation to jump over the fence and get on the wide road. Do you find it every week? And the Lord says, "Stay with me, because I've got you. I've got your back. I'm with you on the narrow road. Let's keep moving, dear." This is how he works with us. He's so kind. If you're on that narrow road tonight, be assured of this, that as sure as night follows day, you'll reach your destination one day. You surely will. And you'll see him. There he'll be. He was with you all along, and there he'll be. That was it. That's it. Four times he gives different versions of that warning to people who hear the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the grave, because he died for you and me that we might have life. I missed out one little clause. Do you see it? 13 first few words. It's a command. Enter through the narrow gate. Do you see it's a command? Do you see, have a look at it. He doesn't say, "If you feel like it, if you're willing to indulge me, hey, listen, I'm short of a few followers. Fancy joining in just to make up the numbers. I'm absolutely desperate, me, Jesus. I could just do, give me five or six just to show that I'm in the race here." Get off. This is the King of the universe. This is the Lord of the universe. This is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He says, hey, you, enter through the narrow gate. It's a command. And if you haven't entered through the narrow gate, it's not a human command, it's a divine command. Enter through. Walk through. Throw your arrogance away. Trust in the crucified and risen Christ and come onto the path. As you think of it, there's no question if you're here this evening, you'll be aware of some of the travelers on that narrow road. You're probably here because you know one. They're your friend or neighbor or relative. And you see their walk and you think, could I do that? I wonder what it'd be like for me to travel on that narrow road. But it's a big call to make, you say to yourself. I don't mind coming to All Souls. I've been coming to All Souls for 3 or 4 months, actually. It's fine. Let me just merge in. I don't really want to make that kind of decision. Well, if you don't, you're on the road to destruction. Jesus respects you, but he does say, act. Come through the cross and resurrection, through the narrow gate to life. We must decide to enter. The gate is narrow. Oh, the journey's hard, but it does lead to forgiveness, a new start. The greatest travel companion, right? And a wonderful ending forever. Well, why don't we pray before we sing our last song? I'll put on the screen there. Do you see I've put 3 words? Being Welsh, I'd best keep it simple. ABC. I'll read some lines and quietly, if you know that you must get off that big wide road and trust in Christ, you might want to pray this quietly in your heart in a moment. Could you admit that you have blindly passed the wide gate on the easy road to destruction? You've walked past that gate. You've not taken the gate. Can you believe that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, is offering you the opportunity to enter through that small gate and onto the narrow road that leads to life? And see, will you confess Jesus as your Savior and your leader and ask for his presence and power to walk towards eternity with him? Well, they're the 3 things I'm going to pray. Why don't we bow our heads? And if you know you must get off that road tonight and onto the road to life, then pray that with me quietly. Heavenly Father, first, I admit that I have walked past that gate and walked on the easy road that takes me to destruction. Second, Heavenly Father, I do believe that Jesus, by his death and resurrection, has offered me the opportunity to pass through the small gate and on to that narrow road that leads to life. And finally, Father, I confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, as my Savior and leader. I ask for your presence and power to help me walk the narrow way to heaven. Amen.